Well, friends, the Apostle Peter concluded his first letter to the scattered, persecuted saints, saying, "After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." That's in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. The God of all grace. If there's one thing the Christian can say about his life, it is that God has been exceptionally gracious to him throughout his whole life, during unconverted times, days, as well as after conversion. The person who has come to believe and trust in Jesus Christ will be convinced of this truth, perhaps more than any other truth, for he will be able to discern that God is gracious to all people, even to those who are in their sins still. God administers common grace even more liberally than saving grace. Grace is unmerited, unearned favour. And at no time in our lives are we deserving of grace. We're fully and totally undeserving of any mercy or kindness because of our sin and our corrupt nature. Believers become consciously aware of God's hand and providence taking care of them without even their knowledge. Each believer will be able to recall times when before and after conversion, in the midst of trouble and perhaps even while engaging in sin, the God of all grace delivered him or her from what would have been a disastrous consequence. God has done many wonderful things for his people when we were totally self-absorbed and miles away from God. We might think of Jacob in the midst of a horrendous domestic upheaval in his home. Through deceit and duplicity, he had to flee the family home in fear of being murdered by his brother Esau. And what road was Jacob on when he was on the run? Well, he was on the road to conversion. The God of all grace met with him at Bethel as he lay down to sleep in the open field. This was Jacob's awakening to the reality of God. Whatever he may have been taught about his grandfather's Abraham's God, he either forgot it or did not know about it, the omnipresence of God. For he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." How awesome is this place? Genesis 28. He viewed God with awe, but it would seem that he did not yet know God in Christ until he arrived at Peniel. For at Peniel, Jesus met Jacob in one of his pre-incarnate visits as the angel that redeemed him, as we read in Genesis 48, verse 16. Jacob wrestled with him there and would not let him go until he received the blessing. Jacob himself called the name of the place Peniel, because I've seen God face to face, which is the Hebrew meaning of Peniel, Genesis chapter 32. Paul's statement in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6 tells us that God gives the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Jacob met God face to face in Jesus Christ, and God changed Jacob's name to Israel at Peniel, no doubt referring to what John in the Revelations chapter 3, verse 20 says about the new name that God gave to his people, obviously at their adoption into his family. At Bethel, God certainly entered into the life of Jacob. He became more and more aware of God's presence after that experience. On awakening from his dream at Bethel, Jacob put God to the test by making a vow that if God would provide for him in the days ahead, so that he would be able to return in peace to his father's house, then the Lord shall be my God. Genesis 28. At Peniel, Jacob realized that God had indeed blessed him, and he was indeed returning home to his father's house, according to his vow. But he was about to be confronted by his brother Esau, who was coming to meet him with a large company. Jacob feared his brother Esau was coming to destroy him. So Jacob needed a deliverer. So he wrestled in prayer and cried to the God of my father Abraham, he said, and God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, return to your country that I may do you good. I'm not worthy of all the deeds of steadfast love and all the faithfulness that you have shown your servant. Please deliver me from the hand of my brother. You said, I will do you good and make your offspring as the sand of the sea. So he pled with God in Christ to save him. And he was saved. He was redeemed and he was strengthened for his new life ahead. He became a new man and one of the chief patriarchs of the covenant people of Israel. Now that same God of all grace still tenderly deals with each of his children today, throughout their whole lives, during backsliding times as much as at other times. God does indeed discipline his people, though, when they go astray. God has a policy of dealing with backsliders. He does not allow them to live as they please for long, but would have them turn and glorify God their Saviour by obedience to his commands and serving him. Sooner or later, God will deal with his wayward children, and so he disciplines them. That's a principle of God, for he says, you to Israel, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you. Therefore, because you're my children, because you've sinned, I will punish you for all your transgressions. That's Amos chapter 3, verse 2. And after discipline, the Lord says to his people, comfort you. Comfort my people. Speak tenderly to them. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Isaiah chapter 41 and 2. The writer of the Hebrews recalls this doctrine and reminds his leaders, as you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. If God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, it means that you are illegitimate and are not really his children at all. Hebrews 12, verse 7. Sometimes God's people are completely unaware of God's hand leading and directing them in providence. And it's only in reflection and looking back do they come to realise how much God was looking after them. And this thought really strengthens their faith. So throughout the whole of the believer's life, the God of all grace promises and will restore, confirm, strengthen and establish those who pay attention to his voice. God is much more anxious than we are that we be in harmony with his spirit. His kindness and love to us as believers ought to affect our relationship with him, for he's full of grace and truth. Peter finishes his second letter to the saints by saying, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3, verse 18. And may you and I indeed grow in that grace, the grace of Christ. May God bless these thoughts.